Two leading Israeli human rights organizations have for the first time accused Israel of committing genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. B'Tselem and Physicians for Human Rights are frequent critics of Israeli government policies, but have not until now publicly denounced the Gaza conflict as genocide. Their assertions have been rejected by the Israeli government. Tisra Leibovitz is the Deputy Director for Physicians for Human Rights and has been speaking to our reporter Kate Varley.
So genocide could happen by direct killing, but it can happen in different ways as well. So for the last 22 months, we've been following and documenting what has been happening in Gaza. And our focus was, of course, there's the wanton killing that is happening. In addition to that, there is the denial of life conditions that are essential for the survival of a people. And that also is part of the definition of genocide. What we saw was that the attack on the health system was systematic, that the health system was targeted from the start. And as information came in, we understood the comprehensiveness of this. This was not only about infrastructure and hospitals, it was also about medical teams, more than 1,500 doctors and medical workers who have been killed and hundreds detained. We were looking at the issue of, obviously, of a humanitarian aid and medication supplies. It's helpful to understand what is happening. It's helpful to be putting a mirror before society, and especially Israeli society, about what is happening so close, just a few tens of kilometers away from where we are.
And do you think that that message is getting through to the general public in Israel now, especially when you have Israeli organizations like yours coming out and saying what is happening in Gaza today is genocide?
I'll tell you, I have two points to make here. One is it's true that inside Israel, the media is not fulfilling its purpose and its role, and a lot of these pictures are being held back from the public, although there are ways, obviously, to get that information. It's not very difficult. We are hoping that by coming out with this report, we are normalizing this discussion. Previously, to say the word genocide and to bring that into the public discussion was very high risk. For me, the one of the biggest fears is being silent.
That's Tisra Leibovitz, Deputy Director for Physicians for Human Rights, speaking with our reporter Kate Varley. Let's stay with Gaza and the increasing desperation there for food. Israel says it will stop military operations for 10 hours a day in some parts of Gaza to allow for aid corridors. Jordan and the UAE are airdropping supplies, but aid agencies working there say it's not nearly enough to stop people from starving. Stephen O'Brien is with us. He's former UN Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator. Stephen O'Brien, good morning.
Good morning, Gavin.
Did you ever see a need like this during your time with the UN?
Well, all needs are different, but yes, I mean, the scale of need I saw both in Yemen and in parts of Ukraine and in Myanmar and South Sudan and other places, but and in Syria. But the scale and the compactness of Gaza gives a particular character to this, and also the difficulties within the international political context, particularly the approach that's been taken by Israel, supported by the Americans, to restrict the amount of aid which is accessible and going in on the basis that they don't want any kind of diversion to the Hamas operatives.
What was your experience of dealing with Israel and the IDF?
Well, I like any emergency relief coordinator at the UN, it's obviously a senior role and you're trying to bring together all the people to try and avert death and to alleviate the terrible suffering, particularly the most vulnerable. And when you get severe shortages of either food or shelter, medicine or maternity kits, particularly baby formula in this case, anywhere, it's a question of having to negotiate with the authorities that exist. And so you have to do it very formally. You have to use your diplomatic skills as best you can in order to try and assert the primacy of humanitarian and the international rules under the Geneva Conventions, where those who are impartial, namely the UN and the international NGOs, have a full right of access impartially to meet the greatest needs wherever they arise and to make sure they have unimpeded access. Normally, you then have to rush around trying to raise the money and to get the goods into place in order to be able to get it to the relevant places. And it's much, much more difficult whenever you have a context of conflict, which clearly we have here, because normally you can also draw upon the various military and other defense assets which many countries are willing to offer. You know, for instance, if you have a tornado which has devastated an island, you can send a navy ship from some other nation to be in support. But you can't do anything in uniform or with those kind of assets when you've got a context of conflict, because one party will at least think that you've sided with the other. So that doesn't work. So you have to use the neutral and international agencies, mainly the UN, and of course supported by whether it's the EU or indeed USAID in the past, to the international NGOs. And that's why you need coordination, that's why you need urgency. And in this case, we've got the money, we've got the stuff, we just need to get the stuff in. And airdrops are welcome, but they're a small, very small proportion of what's needed. And we need massive opening of the lorry routes for safe passage. And it's that safe passage which needs to be negotiated.
In your view, why hasn't all that happened then?
Well, very clearly, it's the deliberate policy of the Israeli government under the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to make sure that there can be no support that could possibly reach any Hamas operative whose avowed intent is to get rid of Israel and its people. And so they, under international law, do have a right to seek to repel and remove terrorists. The danger here is that Hamas have operated behind the human shields of the civilian population, particularly the most vulnerable, whether they be in hospital or the under fives, mothers, pregnant mothers, lactating mothers, elderly and sick. And those are the ones who can least compete for the aid when it's either dropped from the air or indeed brought in by lorries. So that in itself becomes a very important point about how you get distribution. So that's why they set up their so-called Global Humanitarian Foundation with the support of the United States, because they wanted to make sure that there was no possibility of any of this support, absolutely vital life-saving support, reaching anybody who could possibly be described as a Hamas operative. And that's why the policy has been so difficult, because in all these contexts, it is always complicated, always confusing. And you, a phrase which I've used in the past on this is, it's never going to be perfect. You can't get an absolutely perfect distribution. And so you mustn't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. You need to get food to the mouths of the people who need it most now. And that may occasionally include some people who don't need it, or indeed Hamas operatives getting it.
Stephen O'Brien, thank you for speaking to us. Stephen O'Brien is former UN Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs.